Welcome to The Crossing, the sermon podcast from Washington National Cathedral. We're so glad you're with us, and we hope this week's episode gives you comfort and inspiration. Be sure to check out our other Crossing podcast, Tower Talks, where you can find untold stories from cathedral docents, volunteers, staff, and artists who have each helped make the cathedral into the national treasure we all love. And now, enjoy this week's sermon.
O Lord, uphold thou me, that I may uplift thee. Amen. Please be seated. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. You know, I wonder this morning if our readings should have been put in a different order. I know we always read the gospel last, and liturgically that is as it should be. But today I think the words from St. Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians should have been read last after reading both Micah and Matthew. I mean, if we pay attention to Micah when he tells us that God requires of us to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God, then you might realize that how Micah says we ought to live looks quite different from how the world tells us we ought to live. And on top of that, when you read Jesus telling us that it isn't the proud or the wealthy or the mighty or the happy or the warriors who are blessed by God, but the poor in spirit and the mournful, the humble, the peacemakers, and the persecuted are really the blessed ones, you might wonder what's going on. You might wonder why these teachings seems so contrary to the ways of the world, why God's wisdom seems at odds with the world's wisdom. You might wonder why Micah, and more to the point, Jesus, seems to turn everything upside down. In today's readings, it's Paul who makes sense of it all. It's Paul, Christianity's first theologian, who gives us the explanation and makes all of the pieces fit. Paul tells us that the ways of God are in fact very different from the ways of the world. In fact, the ways of God often appear as foolishness because they are counterintuitive and backward compared to the ways of the world. You see, for Paul, you can't understand the ways of God until you understand something about the mystery of the cross. Because in the mystery of Christ crucified, God turns everything upside down. In the cross, weakness becomes strength, death becomes life, despair becomes hope. In the cross, God takes an instrument of torture and death and turns it into the means of eternal life. In the cross, God takes the ultimate expression of repressive power, crucifixion, and turns it into the means by which all of us can find true freedom. In our lessons for today, Micah and Matthew, they tell us what God values. And Paul warns us that if we value what God values, then the world may well consider us fools. But what could be better than to be fools for God? Fools for God, that's what Jesus wants us to be. At its best, Christianity is deeply countercultural. And if we are serious about following Christ, if we are serious about living God's way in the world by blessing the poor and those who mourn, the meek and the merciful, by striving for justice and kindness, then we may indeed seem quite foolish. If not, a little crazy. People thought Oscar Romero, whose statue is one of the centerpieces of our human rights porch, was crazy for speaking out on behalf of the poor. They thought Archbishop Romero was crazy to risk his life speaking out against the evil and the oppression of the Salvadoran government. And when he was murdered because of his work and his words, there were many people who thought his tragic end only confirmed his foolishness. On March 7th, 1965, when John Lewis and 600 marchers started to walk over the Edmund Pettus Bridge, many thought they were crazy to expose themselves to so much danger. But Lewis and the others knew what they were walking into. They knew there would be violence. But they also knew that in their passive resistance, in their perceived weakness, they would in fact be showing God's strength. Many of them may have been fools for Christ, but in their refusal to meet violence with violence, they knew they were in fact building the kingdom of God and changing the world. Did you read the article in the Post the other day about that farmer in Alabama who secretly paid for everybody's prescriptions? It's a great article if you haven't read it. The farmer's name was Hody Childress, and it was only after he died that his kindness came to light. Let me share with you some of the article. Hody Childress was a farmer living off his meager retirement savings in the small town of Geraldine, Alabama. About 10 years ago, he walked into the Geraldine drugstore and pulled aside the owner, Brooke Walker, to ask if there were families in town who couldn't afford to pay for their medications. "I told him yes, unfortunately that happens often," recalled Walker. "And he handed me a $100 bill, all folded up." Childress told Walker to use it for anyone who couldn't afford their prescriptions. He said, "Don't tell a soul where the money came from. If they ask, just tell them it's a blessing from the Lord." The following month, Childress returned to hand Walker another folded up $100 bill, and he repeated this every month for years until he became too weak late last year to make the trip. I think that's a great story. Here was a man who barely had enough income to make it himself, and yet every month for more than 10 years, he anonymously gave $100 to help people who would not otherwise be able to afford their medications. Hody wasn't martyred for his faith like Archbishop Romero, or beaten to a pulp for his faith like John Lewis. Nevertheless, Hody was one of God's fools. Humble and faithful, compassionate, doing what he could to bless others. Building God's kingdom brick by brick, $100 bill by $100 bill. Hody died on New Year's Day, but one of the things that I love most about this story is that Hody so inspired people in this town that they are continuing his work and they have started the Hody Childress Fund to continue to help those in need pay for prescriptions. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Friends, if we are going to attempt to live the Christian life, then likely as not, we are going to find ourselves at odds with the world. Because we live in a world where for many people there is nothing higher than self, where all values are relative, where there is little or no sense of or appreciation for any notion of transcendence. As Scott Hubbard writes, many people live in a world where we cultivate hobbies and follow celebrities and read the news without knowing why we exist. We stumble through an unthinkably vast cosmos circled around by unthinkably intricate wonders, too distracted to ask, "Who made this?" We develop firm opinions about politics and care not whether souls live forever and where. We look often into our mirrors, but seldom into our deep and fallen hearts. Moreover, as we have seen so painfully and vividly in recent days with the brutal murder of Tyre Nichols by five Memphis police officers, not to mention the deaths of hundreds of Americans in 40 mass shootings just in January, that it's clear that we are still unwilling to look into the mirror of our fallen country and confront some of our national sins. So in closing, what are we to do? If we aspire to be holy fools or fools for Christ, what are we supposed to do? I recently learned about a term in economics called shadow work. Have you ever heard of the term shadow work? I had never heard of it before. Shadow work refers to a special kind of unpaid labor. It includes the kind of unpaid labor involved when you're at home assembling a bookshelf from IKEA, or in my case, attempting to assemble a bookcase from IKEA. It's the work we do at the self-checkout counter at Wegmans, or the labor involved when we pump our own gas at the Exxon station. In short, shadow work is the work necessary for completing a purchase that has been left to the consumer. So what are we to do? Simply put, we are supposed to do God's shadow work. That's the work nobody gets paid for and few notice, but the work that makes a world of meaning and value, a world of peace and purpose, a world of love and hope and faith. In short, the work that builds the kingdom of God. That's what the faithful were doing who rallied around Archbishop Romero. That's what the people were doing who joined John Lewis on that bridge. That's what Hody Childress was doing without fanfare or thanks every month for years as he walked into that drugstore toting a $100 bill. In truth, I think holy fools are the world's sanest people, and there need to be more of them. More of us doing all the shadow work we can, protesting when we must, loving others whenever possible, feeding the hungry, caring for the poor, working to bring peace, standing up for justice, you name it. God has called us. Micah and Jesus have told us what to do. Sure, much of it is counter to the ways of the world, but remember, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are. Paul knew the truth of it. May we be wise enough to be just that foolish. Amen.